Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Tuning in today, this is Bill Arnold sitting in today for Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We're here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So welcome to the big show. Welcome to your Wednesday. I hope you're having a great day. I am working just hard enough to make it appear that I am succeeding. So that's kind of, we've got Neil Staveham at the board today. So it's nice to have you here in studio, Neil.
Thank you. And likewise, I will only do the minimum effort just to kind of match your good works.
So. Well, likewise. Okay. And we have a great show today. We have Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley on the show today. We're going to talk about 10 things that every husband needs from his wife. So listen up. This will be a good hour. And Neil, do you already start to feel a little bit of eager anticipation of the information we're getting today?
I don't know if eager's, but yes, no, whenever Greg and Aaron are on, I'm happy to hear what they have to say.
Yeah, they're the best. Question. And of course, Greg and Susie had everyday relationships for a while here on the network, so we're always glad when they can be, and now they're together. So Greg talked Aaron into coming on the show today, which makes me happy. Yeah. So there's three guys versus one. Does that work?
Well, that's... We have half a chance, by my math.
A very small chance of succeeding. But Greg, Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us. In light of how you opened up, see, I was if you were going to say, hey, how are you doing? I was going to say more than adequate.
Oh, nice, nice. So, I'm glad I didn't walk into that
I'm doing great. There's only one of me and three of you, so chances are I'll do really well.
That is, we could bet on that one.
Yeah, that's a loaded topic. And, you know, just by the very fact we're saying 10 things that every husband needs from his wife, that's got everyone's attention, believe me.
It really does. And by the way, the next time we're on, we'll do 10 things that every wife needs from her husband. So we'll make this balanced and fair.
That'd be great.
Do you think there's only 10 that we need from you?
Well,
we're pretty complicated.
I'm not even sure that we can track 10. So it could be the two things that every woman needs from her husband. We could track that.
I am not keeping score today, but Aaron's already ahead. She's already in the lead.
Blasted.
All right. Let's get into the discussion today. Let's talk about a healthy, full wife. What does that mean?
Yeah, you know what? Reading that, it actually may leave you thinking that your wife needs to be fed. But we're talking about being fed. It's not fed with food, although that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But really what we're saying is that it's important that a husband has a wife that is well cared for and vibrant and has leftovers, has stuff to give to him. Because if she's, you know, fully self-consumed or, you know, empty, running on empty, because as women, our stress levels can tend to be so high that if we end up empty and exhausted and we don't have anything to give, then that doesn't work well for him, because he needs a teammate. He needs a partner that can really, they can come together and function abundantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bill, as we talked about these things, as Aaron and I discussed them, we just felt that that's so important, that we start from this place of going, you know what, if I'm thinking about what I can do for my wife, or a wife is thinking about what she can do for her husband, it has to start from a place that we recognize, where do we truly get our source of life and energy in love, and that's from Christ. And therefore, my relationship with Christ has to be first and foremost. And because, like Aaron is saying, if I'm empty, if I'm exhausted, if I'm worn out, then I don't have anything to give. And so if we don't have anything to give, it's like, okay, and now there's 9 other things that I have to do, and I'm already worn out and exhausted. And it just doesn't work. It'd be too overwhelming, too discouraging, depressing for someone. Unless we start from that spot of going, first and foremost, man, we need Christ. We need his energy. We need he has to be the source. Because I know, I mean, for Aaron and I, you know, this played out in a number of ways. But I remember at one point just feeling very helpless, because it felt like so often as Aaron and I very early in our marriage would get into certain discussions or we'd have an argument, that she was pulling so hard for me to validate her and to really get her feelings and tell her that your feelings are good and valuable and okay. And it just felt like I was stuck, like she wanted something from me that I really, that I didn't know how to give completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I really, what I wanted was to be validated that, you know, I had these emotions and thoughts and feelings, but instead of realizing that I could do that job, that I could do provide a lot of validation between me and the Lord, I would look to Greg to be the source of that. So I was like pulling. I was like, I always say I was like a vacuum cleaner hose. I was like trying to suck the validation.
I have never called her that, by the way. I want that on record.
I had my Hoover out and I was trying to suck it out of you. That there was some way that I could get that from him and make him give it to me. And the truth is that as a woman, you know, that yes, Christ is the source of our fullness, but you have to think about the physical parts of it, the emotional parts of it, the spiritual and intellectual. We have to be cared for in all of those areas so we can give out of the abundance of all of those areas.
Okay, let me ask this question. I'll throw it out to both of you. Should we be managing our own anxiety to our best of our ability? Or when we have anxiety, are we expecting our spouse to help us with that? Or yes to both?
Well, I would. Here's the way I would look at that is that, so I'll speak for me. So my anxiety, my depression, my whatever, that I am responsible for me. Is God laid out in the greatest commandment that I'm to love him, I'm to love others as I love myself. In other words, he's given me this job to take care of me. And therefore, I need to be plugged into him. I need to be discovering in my life what gives me rest, what brings me life. I mean, I need to be doing that work. So when I'm experiencing anxiety, for example, worry, I mean, he's the one that first and foremost that I need to recognize can make that huge difference in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And his scriptures are full of that. Now, I have a helpmate. Mm-hmm. And so Aaron can come alongside and she can assist, she can help, she can support, she can encourage. You know, only two times in the Bible we're told to do something every day. One is to take up your cross daily, and the other is to encourage one another daily. But see, I have to have the right perspective that Aaron, I have to see her as my support, as my helper, not as my source.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I confuse Aaron with Christ, if I've seen her as, oh man, you've got to make me feel this way and you're the only one that I can talk to and you've got to bring me back to life here, help me deal with my anxiety. That's the wrong role for her. God did not ever intend her to be my source. He intended for her to be my helper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that fully, that God has given us this job. You know, he's assigned it. You take care of you, your temple, your body, and your emotions. And, you know, between the Lord and myself, there's so much that we can do. But then God gave us, you know, a spouse to journey through life together, or gave me a spouse to journey through life together. And it made me think, as soon as you asked that, it made me think about Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. And, you know, I don't know that that's a marriage verse, but what a great example of when one of us is down and struggling, dealing with anxiety or depression. You know, yes, you know, I'm going to do as much as I can. But sometimes in those difficult emotions and difficult seasons, it's hard to do what you know you need to do. And it's awesome when you have someone else there rooting you on and saying, you know what, we're going to get through this.
Okay. Here's a Jeopardy category called mood in the house. Aaron's had a great day and Greg's had a bad day. He enters the house. What kind of mood is in the house then?
Well, let's just be honest, Greg. I'm looking at him smiling because typically it's me that's had the bad day and he comes in a good mood.
Okay.
And so the mood is often influenced by by me because he's very even keeled. And so, yeah. So well, go ahead from there, Greg.
Well, no, what I would say is, you know, we've all heard, you know, if mom ain't happy, no one's happy. You know, in some families, if daddy ain't happy, no one's happy. And I think that there was a season that I put that pressure on Aaron that you need to be in a good mood. You need to be happy. Mm-hmm. You need to be upbeat because otherwise the rest of us, man, we're going to be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And what it communicated is that, Aaron, we are dependent. Our mood is dependent upon where you're mm-hmm. at. So you need to get your act together. You need to get happy so that we can be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that message. That's mm-hmm. an awful message. I mean, she's going to have bad days.
Yeah,
she's
I agree.
Human.
Yeah,
she's
going
to, you know, I want my children to know that, you know what, if mom is at a bad place, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I am responsible for my own emotional well-being, not my wife. And therefore, we can go, let's go do something. Let's give mom space. Let's send her to get her mani-pedi, go get a massage. I mean, mm-hmm. in other words, let's let her be where she's at mm-hmm. and let's decide how are we going to, you know, manage and in what mood do we want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's so true because I felt that pressure of, you know, finally one day I just said to him, I'm like, I'm just in a bad mood and I just need to be in a bad mood and let that, why is that not okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so just give me space. I just need space to figure this out, whatever's going on. You know, maybe I was tired or, you know, hormonal, who knows what. But it was just such a relief when we got to the place of just going, you know what, it's okay. It doesn't have to impact him and the kids that I can, you know, be having a difficult day and, you know, they can manage. Not that I'm abandoning them, but in that it's okay for me to have a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
No one else has to have a bad day because I have a bad day.
Yeah. Well, not to be bad news, but there's no points for either of you because you did not answer in the form of a question. And, of course, that's the whole Jeopardy format. So just keep that in mind. All right, cool.
That's
a good point.
Yeah, we're terrible guests.
I know. We're going to take a little break.
What is?
lots more with the Smalleys when we come back. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in today for Susie. 10 things that every husband needs from his wife. Stay tuned. Get out pencils and papers. We got a lot more to come. Okay, friends, thanks for being with us today. 10 things that every husband needs from his wife. We're talking to Greg and Aaron Smalley. And, you know, it seems like I can always tell how good a marriage would be. Just this is an observational little measuring stick of mine. I can tell how good the relationship based on how much ear hair the guy has. Because if there's like a chia pet coming out of his ear, you know that their marriage can't be that good. Because it tells you one thing. Either she's not noticing him anymore or something. But you got to trim that thing. Anyway.
That's deep.
I tell you, it's deep. You can put that in your next book. Now, let's talk about how we started off with having a full, healthy, a healthy, full wife. That's important. Now, let's value how he is different. Men, you say, are like crockpots when it comes to communication. We need to be warmed up to the experience. And I think men feel outgunned when it comes to having conversations with women because women are so good at it.
Absolutely. I was having a hard time hearing you because of the ear hair. So I just kind of had to comb it a little bit, braid it up.
Yeah, it's either that I am not noticing or you're not responding.
Exactly.
You're refusing.
You guys got work to do tonight.
We do. Give me a little ear trimmer. You know, I tell you what is so helpful is to know that Aaron understands how I'm different and then values those differences. And, you know, it's my, you know, gender, just being a man. Yeah. Communication wise, she'll call me and, at the office or whatever, where we work together, and she'll just come into my office. And I'm telling you, in 2.7 seconds, we are at the deepest level of communication. Like, I don't know how we got here, but instantly we're deep. We're talking about some deep issue in deep feelings around that deep issue. And I will go, oh my goodness, hey, honey, I need a little, I need a little communication foreplay here. You can't go so quickly, so deep. You know, just talk a little bit. And so, but it's true.
Yeah, I mean, I'll recognize the glazed look. Yeah. Because, I mean, as women, we're like microwave ovens as women. We can go deep and we can go quick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our conversation is deep and intimate and connecting. And for Greg, I can tell when I walk in and I drop something that's so deep, you know, he can't transition from what he's focusing on and, you know, working on to this, you know, deep conversation. And that's, you know, the great news is that as a woman, I don't have to judge that, but just simply understand that that's how his brain is wired. It's different. And so often we end up judging these differences. And really, actually today at lunch, I meet with a group of younger women. And we were talking about, we were on chapter 3 in this book, and it was all about the differences between us and our husbands. And it's just so true that just understanding how we're made differently, understanding his personality differences from mine. But the beauty of it is how much balance the differences that we have, whether gender or personality or likes and dislikes, how much balance and beauty they bring to the relationship.
I like.
And because I'm Bill, because see, part of the difference between us is that I'm a total introvert. She's mm-hmm. a total extrovert. And so even coming home at night after work, you know, I need a moment to kind of just get my head back and just relax. And she loves having people around, and she's always inviting people over to her house, and I hate people.
No,
and so
I'm with you.
It's, you know,
I'm with
so,
you.
But I tell you what, when you think about what a man needs from his wife, it is so, I love it when she recognizes, yeah, you are different in that way. And I see her making adjustments to that. I have to make adjustments as well. So I'm not saying this is just one-sided, but mm-hmm. we're talking about what the wife is doing for the husband. And it's so helpful when she sees those things. And I notice that she's like, today you came into my office and said, hey, would it be okay if there's a couple that I want to have over with Thursday night work. And I can tell that she's accommodating. I know you don't like to be around people, and I know you don't want to be with people Thursday night, but what do you think? Would that be okay?
Mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, this would be the fourth time during the week
mm-hmm.
or something that, mm-hmm. that we're hanging out with people.
Well, the interesting thing is that I actually asked you if you wanted to go to someone else's house on Thursday night. So,
well, that's worse.
You know.
Oh, that's worse.
Is that worse?
That?
You
oh,
didn't
correct.
Hear that correctly.
It was the
correctly.
Ear hair.
It was the ear hair.
I lost it, yeah.
But I was actually telling the gals at lunch today that it was like 8 years into our marriage, and I remember it clear as day. We were standing at the end of our driveway in Ozark, Missouri, and Greg just like very kindly said, hey, Aaron, do you think it would be okay if on the weekends we only had people over one night of the weekend? And I literally can remember standing there thinking, what's wrong with him?
Like, why? You're an extrovert.
Why would you not want people over every mm-hmm. single night of the week? And, you know, especially on the weekend. But then, you know, just I didn't understand at that point that I was an extrovert, that I was a people person, that he is an introvert. That's not how he recharges. And so, you know, just simply understanding that that's a difference. And thank goodness we are different in that way, because he balances me out so much. We would be going nonstop from party to people's houses to this activity to volunteering. And he just balances me out.
Yeah,
so much.
I just want to fall asleep right now.
Greg, were you quietly suffering a little bit during those first 8 years with all the activity?
I don't think I was quietly suffering. I think what I was doing was just so fighting her on it.
Okay.
And probably even got a little passive aggressive.
Ooh, yeah, I know about that.
You know, I mean, I was there were ways in which it led to arguments. It led to just me pulling back versus really going, hey, okay, here's who I am, and here's what I really need to recharge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know, Aaron, why we didn't, I don't know why it took us quite so long to figure this out.
Yeah, I don't know. It would have been so helpful, you know, first year of marriage, premarital counseling, to understand our personalities
mm-hmm.
at a deeper level, because yeah. we just didn't for whatever reason.
Is this, every couple should take a personality test.
Absolutely.
Like, just go online, find
yeah.
one.
Mm-hmm. Is it scary to speak the truth?
Yes.
Yeah. Got real quiet all of a sudden
right
over
now
in the Smalley household.
Yeah. No, I mean.
It is from, I'm a conflict avoider. So
I
will be the first to tell you that I want to maintain peace and harmony, and I want her to be happy with me and satisfied in our relationship. And sadly, there's been many times that I have sacrificed honesty and sacrificed, you know, really telling her where I'm at just to sort of keep this idea of peace, which it never does because mm-hmm. it builds up. And then I explode worse down the road.
Right.
Versus if we had been able to really talk this through in the beginning. Aaron does that so well. Like I love that I don't really ever have to wonder if my wife is mad at me. Because if she is, she will tell me.
Yeah.
Well, but
you have to kind of wonder.
Yeah. The interesting thing is that we both have the same desire. We want peace. And that's what I want, peace, but I go after it in a different way than Greg does. I will speak up. I will say, hey, I wear my emotions, you know, very broadly. I know that's a shock to you, but you know
notice.
That Greg wants peace too, but he will avoid it. I go after it. And so it's interesting. We both want the same thing, but ultimately it looks very different in how we approach it.
Yeah.
Okay. We got to keep moving here because we're going to try to get through the list. Let's get to number three, and that is affirm who he is as a man. What does that mean?
I tell you a huge, huge need for a man. In some women may get this, others don't, but I'm telling you, such a big need for a man is to know that we have what it takes to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be affirmed, you know, regarding what I do. And not so much who I am as this person. I mean, I want to know that I have what it takes,
mm-hmm.
that I can be the kind of husband and father and provider and protector that creates the kind of family that I want.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Aaron affirms that, when she affirms who I am as a man, when she affirms who, you know, I am as a provider, those kind of,
goes a long way, doesn't it?
It really does.
It does.
Yeah.
And we just came across some research that actually says that a man longs for this from his wife specifically, because in male friendships, they don't necessarily affirm each other like we do as women. You know, I walk into a room and I'll see someone's boots and go, oh my word, I love your boots. Those are awesome. Where did you get them?
Mm-hmm.
Versus men, you guys typically don't do that.
Although Bill's boots are pretty amazing.
Thank you. Well, they are.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. But so it's that he longs for that when he comes home. He wants to hear that from me as his wife. And just by simply affirming him, making sure I'm doing that every day, looking for things that I can affirm, his marital satisfaction is going to skyrocket. So I like that. That's a simple way that I can influence my husband
mm-hmm.
and help him to enjoy our marriage even more.
Yeah. Well, next up, be his lover. All right. We're going to take a little break and talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in today for Susie Larson. So we'll take a little break and come back. We're talking to Greg and Aaron Smalley about relationships and the 10 things that every husband needs from his wife. We'll be right back.
Live the Promise.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm.
If you just joined the conversation, a big welcome. Nice to have you with us today. I'm talking to Greg and Aaron Smalley. We're talking about 10 things that every husband needs from his wife. And the first three things are a healthy, full wife, and value how he is different, affirm who he is as a man. And next up is be his lover. And we're going to try to cover this one and then the rest of them. The next one is give him the benefit of the doubt, respect his leadership role, express gratitude for what he does, be his relationship mentor, give him free time, and be his friend. So we'll hopefully get through most of these in the hour, the remaining hour. But right now we're on Be His Lover. Talk about that.
Yes, if you have children there in the car, you might want to tell them to be distracted or not to listen.
Or just let them,
put their,
let them go to the dairy queen.
Their
just
earmuffs
give them
the key. On, you know.
You know, it's so important to, and obviously we know that we're different male and female, you know, sexually. And for men, for the husbands, you know, emotional connection flows from physical intimacy. And like I always tell guys, you know, win her heart and you win her body. And I think it's the reversed. As the mm-hmm. wife thinks about the husband, you win his body and you'll win his heart. The thing that you want his heart, you want that deep connection. Well, that's going to happen as an outpouring, an outflow of the fact that I'm feeling physically connected to Erin. You know, when I think about Erin as my wife, I mean, she's the only woman on this entire planet. She's the only one that I can be with sexually and preserve my sexual integrity. And that's a great thing. I mean, that's the way God designed it, the man and the woman, that we become one. And it's just that's such an important need for guys. Mm-hmm. And that's why, again, if you want that close emotional connection, just understand from a man's perspective, that happens because we're feeling physically close to you.
Mm-hmm. Greg wants to stop at number four. He doesn't think we need to cover the other six.
It's we could do an entire four or five shows. Really, on just this one.
Let me throw this line out. This is from a movie, and I've remembered this, and that's this: men love women they're attracted to, and women are attracted to men they love.
Yeah, that's it.
Is that does that work?
It's totally the case, because as women, it's so different for us in that, you know, for him, that intimacy, you know, allows him to feel that emotional closeness, versus for us, we want that emotional closeness, that emotional intimacy prior to physical intimacy. And so it's the exact reverse. So as a woman, you know, understanding that my husband is made different, that his desire to feel close comes in a different way than it does for me. And it's something that I can do to initiate, to respond, to, you know, take the time to pursue him. And, you know, so often the stereotypical things are that, you know, for a guy, this is all it is about for him. But the truth is, he likes to be romanced too. And I love that. And women typically love that. But he likes that too. You know, he loves it when I hold his hand or give him a surprise kiss or, you know, a little back massage, something
flirt.
Like that.
I love it when she flirts. She is much... is bad as we make out these smartphones to be and how they can distract and take away from a relationship. I tell you, I love when there's so many times that I'll get this text from Erin, and I'm like, oh my goodness, she's totally flirting with me right now. And then we just have this really playful flirt going on. You know, if our children ever read our texts, it would probably gross them out. But that's my wife, and that's the whole point. She's the only woman on this earth that I can be with and still preserve my sexual integrity. And that's why this relationship is so important. So it's not that we believe that women don't get this, but it's just good to be reminded that my emotional connection flows out of our physical relationship.
And Greg, think of all the sweet little nothings that she's whispered into your ear that you've never heard.
Of the ear hair.
We're going to do something about that tonight.
You missed out on a whole lot of flirting, Greg. I'm just saying.
I'm getting waxed.
Which is why the text is so important. See, I don't have hair growing in my eyes.
We're going to wax his ears tonight.
Good. All right, let's get to point five, because this is actually appropriate. Give him the benefit of the doubt. This is timely.
You know, early on in our marriage, I remember one time that Erin was she was a labor and delivery nurse. She was working at the hospital real late, and I was bored. There was nothing on TV, nothing going on. As an introvert, I had no friends. So she's gone. So what do I do? I just remember thinking, I'm just going to go to bed early. And I walked into our little master bedroom area, and it just stood out to me that how Erin had put our bedroom together, rearranged or arranged everything, didn't seem right. It just looked off. space wasn't used well. And so I was like, I'm so bored anyway. I'm just going to rearrange the bedroom.
Yeah.
And it'll show my wife that I'm interested in our life together. So I took everything apart. And I thought it looked awesome, turned the light off, and went to bed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, then I got home in the middle of the night, and he failed to inform me that things had changed because I tried to walk to get in bed, you know, with that well-worn path that I always took to get in our bed. But it had changed, and it was quite disastrous.
Yeah, she came into our room, stumbled over a little piece of furniture I'd moved. It crushed her shin, bleeding. She falls into the wall, knocks a pair of antique skis that someone had given us as a decorative thing over. It hits a shelf, knocks it off the wall, breaks all her precious moment figurines. And so I wake up to all this noise thinking we're being robbed. So I go to run out of the room. I forget I moved the bed, just smash into the wall. So I think I'm being bludgeoned to death. And yeah, that was her welcome home. And yet for me what I love is when she recognizes that I just don't lay awake at night dreaming up ways to screw up our marriage. Like that I, you know, because if there's been a lot of conflict and Aaron's been frustrated with me over time and sort of maybe her lens that she sees me through has changed, is more negative, then she's liable to look at that as more evidence that I don't care about her, that I don't call her and talk to her, that I'm impulsive. I mean, she could frame that in such a negative way versus going, you know what, I know his heart is good. Maybe the execution wasn't his best, but I believe in him, and I imagine that he did that for a good reason. Tell me, honey, what's going on? Why'd you do this? I mean, it would have given me a chance to tell her. I wanted to show you that you know, our life together matters, like rooms and stuff. It matters to me.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the number one complaint that married men have is that they always feel like they're doing something wrong, that they can never do what's right. And as a wife, I hate that. I hate that they feel like that. And so for me, I have decided that I want to really concentrate and focus on what is he doing that I like, and making sure that I'm looking for those things and balancing how many times I'm complaining or, you know, redirecting versus, you know, really praising him and affirming that, you know what, I know that you meant to that for good. You know, I know that your heart is good. I know you want to be a great husband. I mean, there's not
a good decorator.
Yeah, that's a big thing. And, you know, to be patient through that process that,
to
you know,
grace.
That, yes,
yeah.
That it just is. You know, it's just an opportunity I have to see him through a positive lens, knowing that, again, he doesn't lay awake at night, you know, dreaming up ways to frustrate me. That's not who he is. And just grace is going to go a long way.
Mm-hmm. Well, Greg, it sounds like you're not the brilliant tactician you thought you were.
No.
And,
not,
of course, the second half of the night sleeping in the utility shed was a little rough, but
was.
I think it's very sweet.
Uncomfortable.
You know, men are our problem solvers. So we think, well, we can fix this little problem or do something creative, and it'll go great.
Right. Well, as a matter of fact, what I try to communicate to women when we're teaching and talking about this is that, you know, I know it frustrates you to no end when your husband instantly jumps into the fix-it problem-solving mode. You're sharing your feelings. You want to be validated, heard, understood, empathized with. But just understand that it's not that it's because I don't like you or don't care about how you feel when I try to fix something. See that differently. Choose to see that as, you know what, actually he's trying to love me because a part of his love language is fixing things. And so, and again, I'm not suggesting that men should then just do whatever you want and just try to problem solve everything. But again, we're speaking to the women today. We'll speak to the men next time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really good when instead of her going, why won't you just listen to me? She'll go, you know what? I know right now you're trying to love me by helping me solve this, but actually, if you really want to love me, just listen. That's actually all I need. Oh, and then I'm like, okay, awesome. I've just been, now I know what to do. I have a goal.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I can just listen. So that's how her giving me the benefit of the doubt a lot of times just shows up by her seeing my heart is to love her, even though I'm trying to fix a problem, and then she'll tell me how to do that in a better way. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as women, you know, when they do try to fix a problem, see it for what it is, that he's trying to love you, that he really is. You know, even like when you're going out to dinner and he says, hey, where would you like to eat? He's not asking that because he doesn't have an opinion, or maybe he doesn't have an opinion, but more than likely he's trying to honor you and trying to let you have a time to say, this is where I'd really like to go. You know, I have some friends that say, oh, when he does that, you know, really what he's saying is that he, you know, just doesn't want to make another decision, or, you know, he doesn't care.
Passive.
He's being passive. But the truth is, see that as, wow, he's trying to honor and love me. There's always another side, a flip side that we can look at. Take the dark lens off, put the positive lens on, and really try to see him through that.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to respecting his leadership role. And the first thing that comes into my head is, what if he's not leading? There's going to be our listeners that are going, oh, I wish he was leading so I could respect his leadership.
You know, there's so many aspects to this. And to the young marrieds out there, you know, that young wife, he's learning how to be a leader. And there's much over the years, there's much of our influence that will help him continue to grow and learn as a leader, as he matures, as he grows. But because when we got married, Greg was 22 years old, and my expectation was that he was going to be his dad at 22 and lead me like, you know, his 50-year-old father. And that wasn't the case. Therefore, I stepped into, you know, kind of a critical role, and you're not doing this, and I thought you were going to lead Bible studies, and, you know, on and on. But Greg was 22 years old. In giving him the grace that he's going to grow and learn and become a leader of our family. Because then what happens for me and most women end up stepping in and we take over and we lead. And then we're frustrated. Why isn't he leading? Well, because he doesn't have to. And you've told him through your actions, maybe through your words, that he's not doing it right. The more you tell him that, the more he's going to step back and isolate off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of that catch 22.
Yeah, I look at it that if you're frustrated that he's not leading, first and foremost, look at your expectations. What are you expecting should be happening as the way of leadership?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes what we do is we get locked into leading looks like this and this and this. One that may be very different than his personality. He may have never seen a leader lead. He may have no idea what that looks like.
Good point.
Not sure. Or he's leading by doing a whole lot of things that you actually aren't associated with leading.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he's out there going to work every day, that's him providing. He's leading as a provider.
Mm-hmm.
If you wake him up in the middle of the night because you thought you heard a noise and he gets up and searches the house, he's leading as your protector.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the way that he treats your children. I mean, there's a whole lot that goes into leadership. So I just encourage people, just kind of notice what your expectations are.
Yeah.
And maybe those don't match up with what he's doing already or who he is.
Yeah. Now, when we come back, Aaron, I want to ask you, how do you give advice in a way that's loving and doesn't come across as nagging? You know, I just want to say, you know, on behalf of all men, if we say we're going to do something, we're going to do it. You don't have to remind us every 6 months.
No.
All right, listen, you live the promise. Bill Arnold in for Susie. We'll be right back. Conversation with Greg and Aaron Smalley, their regular guests here on Live the Promise. And we're talking about the 10 things that every husband needs from his wife. And when we last left off, I asked Aaron how to give advice in a loving way.
Mm-hmm. You know, ironically, I had this conversation at lunch too. And, you know, it's really wise to not give the advice or the redirection in the middle of the conversation or the frustration. So wait until a time that's separate from what was going on. You know, wait until, because in that moment, your heart is not going to be humble. It's going to be prideful. It's going to be closed. Good things aren't going to come. And, you know, our words have the power of life and death, and we get to choose what we're going to impart to our spouse. And so definitely take some time. Make sure your heart is in a humble place, because as you offer feedback, then it's going to come from a soft, humble heart, which is going to render grace from your spouse. Scripture says that a humble heart renders grace from God and from our spouse.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I love it. Let's move on. And number seven is express gratitude for what he does. Men can be kind of emotional black holes, can't we? We need a lot of attention. Look at honey, I shined the doorknob there. You should come over and see it.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a big deal.
I know.
We have a lot of doorknobs.
Yeah. And you got to get that brasso out and the soft cloth and get them all polished up. And you want credit for it, don't you?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like twice.
Yeah.
Like double points, like bonus points.
Right.
Yeah. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And there's a powerful thing when we give thanks, when we have a heart that's full of gratitude as women, because it's so easy to go to what we don't like, what he's not doing, what, you know, we want him to do differently. Instead, you know, I would even encourage women, before you speak something that you don't like, run through your mind 5 things that you do like, because the gratitude, how thankful you are that, you know, he's a great provider, that he, you know, is emotionally connected, that he shines the doorknob, you know, whatever it is, you know, run through those things, because it's going to help whatever you're sharing that you are wanting different to come out in a much different light. Gratitude has a huge impact on your mindset and on your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Because here's what I've noticed. We often, one of the things that we teach couples at our marriage seminar is, you know, why don't you, right before you fall asleep, like how you say goodnight can really change a marriage. And part of how you can say goodnight is just to thank each other for something that you notice throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like what would that be like if one of the last things that Aaron heard from me was what I noticed, what I appreciated, what I'm grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be specific. So it can't be this general, thanks for being a loving husband. I mean, it needs to be, I noticed today that before you left the house that you actually unloaded the dishwasher. Thank you so much. That was a huge help. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've noticed is that the more I look, I mean, this was what Aaron was talking about. When the more I look for something to then thank her for, the more I tend to notice the positive things she does. I tend to ignore, overlook, sort of reframe the negative mm-hmm. stuff, because I'm much more, I've got to find something to thank her for at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really had a powerful effect on how I see her. I even asked her, I was like, man, I don't know what happened, but lately you've been amazing. You're just doing all this stuff. And I think she kind of looked at me, rolled her eyes and said, I haven't done a single thing different. and the whole point was, I think you're just noticing it more now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's true.
Yeah.
And so that's why gratitude really, it has a powerful effect, just not on the person you're thinking. I mean, guys, we're just drawn to, you know, I'll go out and clean the garage, and then I'll track her down and make her come out and look to notice what a fine job I did.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like a little puppy dog. I just love, it's like she's patting me on the head.
Right. The emotional black hole.
Good job, boy. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job, fella.
Now you get a treat.
Oh,
yeah.
Like a little Debbie treat.
Yeah.
Yes. I love that. And so but gratitude has a huge effect upon both the giver and the receiver.
Mm-hmm. All right, we just got a couple I want to work through, but I want to put this in the back of your head. If a relationship is in chaos right now and it's a triage situation, which of these 10 might be a potential game changer? I want you to think about that as we're wrapping it up. I want to have that question answered, though, before we finish out our hour. But the last couple are be his relationship mentor, give him free time, and be his friend. Which one should we talk about?
Well, Greg, what do you think? What would you like to talk about?
Well, so for me, Aaron and I have had this sort of weird ongoing debate about love and like. And she'll tell me all the time, I love you, I love you. And I will say, that's awesome and thank you. But I always tell her, you know what? You promised that you were going to love me for a lifetime. That's a covenant between you and God. And I know that you were serious. I know you mean that. And so as much as I like when you tell me you love me, actually what I would rather know better is, do you like me? Like, do you enjoy me? Am I the kind of person that you actually think of as a friend? Do you just kind of have to suffer through this lifelong marriage because you made that commitment? Or do you really want to be with me? In I love it when she communicates that. I love it when she's able to put that into words to say, you know what, man, I could go out with some girlfriends tonight. I could, you know, do some of the kids. But tonight, man, I want to hang with you. No, we have fun together.
Or
we
she's afraid you're going to rearrange the furniture. She doesn't want to.
I know. You never know what's going to go on at our house when I'm gone.
He's not stupid.
Yeah. So
I thought she liked me. She's just controlling me.
I'm just trying to moderate your behavior.
Maintain
control in the house. But it's so true that. You know, I want to know that he enjoys me as well and that we're friends, that mm-hmm. we like each other. And one way we do that is we continuously laugh together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just, it's almost like we've trained each other over the years. We're about to hit 25 years of marriage. And
congratulations.
You know that. Thank you. That it, you know, that we really do have fun together. And so many times couples, the stress of life, the pace of life, they forget that, oh, yeah. Like this, I not only married this man, like he's my best friend. If you're longing for a best friend, start looking right in front of you because, again, it's going to come from the place of seeing him for what he is versus what he is not.
I love it. Now, Greg, I want to get back to this because I think this is really critical that men want to be liked more than we want to be loved.
Right.
I mean, I just think that's so strong because it's so real. It's like, oh, I just want you to like me.
It's true. And I tell you, if you want to fall in like mm-hmm. with your husband,
yeah.
invite him to do shoulder to shoulder activities.
Okay, what would that be?
You know, well, women process life together. Women do face to face activities. They love sitting down at a coffee house and having this deep eye to eye kind of conversation. Whereas, you know, men, we love to go watch a movie with us, you know, go for a walk, go for a hike, go mm-hmm. just do something mm-hmm. with us, play ping pong, shoot baskets. And that is speaking such love to a man to do activity. Again, we're activity, shoulder to shoulder based as far as what speaks kind of love and intimacy with us. And so, again, I love it when Aaron says, hey, I know you just came home from work. I bet you're exhausted, but, you know, do you want to go for a hike? You know, do you want to go for a walk? And I'll first think, oh, I just want to go to sleep. But then I go, yes, that sounds fun. And then we can talk. So she gets what she wants
yeah.
because mm-hmm. she's walking next to me and we're on a hike. We're on an adventure, whatever.
Yeah. Well, we're sort of out of time here, but I know that next time we come on, we're going to talk about the 10 things that every – wife needs
yes.
from mm-hmm. her husband.
To be but, fair.
Yeah, but tonight, and we want to be fair, but today I want to wrap it up with saying, I bet there's couples out there that aren't liking each other right now. And what they mm-hmm. need more than anything is to start liking each other. Would you, one of you, pray for all those couples that are listening today that might be suffering from that?
Oh, Lord, we just come before you and just ask Jesus that you help us to have eyes to see, ears to hear. You gave us the spouse as a gift. Help us to choose to see him like that. Instead of seeing what he's not doing or what he is or she is doing, not doing, Lord, help us to see the truth about who you created them to be with value. You made us in your image, Lord. Help us to see that. Help us to remember that and to fight for these relationships, to fight for this marriage covenant that you made, not man. God made marriage, not man. So, Lord, we just call on you to help in our time of need. In your precious and holy name, amen.
Thank you so much, Greg and Aaron Smalley. Always a treat to hear your wisdom and your real life advice. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having
yep,
us on
thanks
as
for
I
having
go
us.
To clip my ear hair.
Yeah, no, definitely do that. They give you something to do tonight. It should take less than an hour.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then next time up, we'll talk about 10 things every wife needs from her husband. So we'll look forward to that. Thanks very
awesome.
Much for being a great guest on the show. And that wraps up our first hour. Coming up on the next hour, we're going to talk to Bill Giovanetti. He's written a book called Grace Intervention. Looking forward to that. We'll take a short break and be right back. Stay tuned for hour two.